You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae. Thank you for tuning in to another Sunday on The Startup here at LA Talk Radio. I want to give a shout out to Sam at the station for getting us on all these platforms. We're now streaming live on Twitter, Facebook as usual, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So please share this link, tell a friend. Thank you so much, Sam, for growing the brand. And guys, I'm coming up on 4 years with LA Talk Radio. This September, we're going to have an amazing show. I'm really excited to roll that out for you. Thank you for the continued support and viewership as we grow. Today, I have a power-packed show of amazing women that are just dominating their industry. And I'm really excited to start the show with a powerhouse, Nan McKay.
Thank you, Monique. It's great to be here again today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. So for the viewers and listeners that maybe missed your first appearance here, why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself and tell us about your brand?
All right. Well, I'm president of a large company. We've got about 10 offices around the country that I started in 1980. And I'm still doing that. But in addition, I've started another company called Nan McKay Connects. And with that company, I am really focusing today on what's happening in the employment arena for businesses. We've got all these baby boomers, 10,000 a day retiring. Wow. And that is leaving just this great big void of who's gonna take over these management positions that they've been in. You say, oh, well, let's see, it's gonna be our Gen Xers. And the answer is no, it really isn't, because you've got the baby boomers up here with this big number, and then you've got with all these management positions, but the Gen X is smaller and isn't available. There are not enough of them to be able to fill all those positions. So we're going to have to reach down into our millennials, our Gen Ys. What I think is really needed and what I'm working on is an effective but one that isn't going to cost a whole lot of money program to be able to get our millennials trained up so that we can cultivate those talents and bring them up to a level where leadership is consistent within the organization. And that's my passion today.
I love it. And if you're Nan McKay, you are a Jill of all things amazing. I want to be you when I grow up, Nan. I think that you are such an inspiration. And what a very a unique talent that you have, I see, to forecast and have the foresight to put your energy here. I guess, you know, it's a smart move, but also you probably get something amazing out of seeing those talents kind of be you fostered and brought up. What kind of talent are you looking to find these days? What are you really zeroing in on?
Well, I think we have to start looking at what culture the millennials and the Gen Zers really want. Mm-hmm. And what culture they want is quite different from what's happening today or what we've been living with as the baby boomers have been in charge. And of course, I'm even older than the baby boomers. So
I don't believe it. I don't. You've got this energy that's timeless. So
at 80, I'm still going.
Wow.
But the point is that the culture that they want really focuses on four things. And the first thing is leadership opportunities and growth. They don't want to be stuck in a position and they don't want to stay in one place until they finally get their gold watch. If they're not getting the culture that they're looking for, they're going to do something else, and that means leave. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is that the turnover rate today is like 58, almost 60%.
Wow.
And that means that you're going to get somebody in, finally hire them, find the right person you think, and then if they come inside and look at the culture and think, I really don't think this is a place I want to work. Well, finding a third of them are leaving within 3 months, a third. So this training that you've done to get them up to speed,
yeah.
But to just kind of get their regular work done is going nowhere. So they don't see a path. They don't see your commitment. They don't see the culture to commit to the individual. The second thing that they are really looking for is what we call work-life balance. And that's really different than what baby boomers have been thinking, because baby boomers have been give it your all, get your gold watch if you can, but you know, really be somebody that you can count on. If somebody has to stay late, they're there. Where work-life balance is more important to the millennials and the Zers to say, that's okay, I'm willing to give something, but I need you to be flexible with me sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's where the flexibility thing comes in. The third thing I think that they're looking for is what I call purposeful work. It's been in the past, you started at the bottom and then you slowly worked your way up. And they're coming in now and saying, hey, you know, you got a lot of openings. I could fill these openings, but I want to be doing something that makes a difference. I don't want to be just doing something that is getting you coffee in the morning.
Right.
And then the fourth thing that they want, which is also really important, is a collaborative and inclusive environment to work in. And that's the culture, because the diversity, we're going to have a tremendous amount of diversity. We have it now, and it's leaning to even more very shortly. Mm-hmm. And when you figure that even today, our millennials and Gen Zs are about 50% of the workforce,
wow,
you start realizing, you know, we better really look at this. If our culture isn't working and it's getting us nothing but turnover, this may not be where we can survive. And if you really want to build a resilient organization, then you've got to take a look at what your culture really looks like. And if you're not just talking the talk, you're not walking the walk of the talk, then you may very well have the turnover I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, 87% of the people say that if they are highly engaged, they're not going to leave. So what does it take to engage them? It takes those four things. And that's where I'm thinking, okay, how can I contribute to this? How can I solve at least one solution?
Yeah.
So I started creating these courses, and they're leadership courses, but I'm writing them myself. And the courses are done monthly so that it's a subscription, and every month somebody can come in and download the course. And if they have our VIP program, I'm going to get on with them monthly and say, what kind of problems are you having? You know, do you need help with the training? Do you need help rolling this out? You've got any questions about the material? So maybe be a little bit the wind beneath their wings. That's what I'm trying to be.
Wonderful. And I like that. A monthly thing. It keeps it fresh in their mind. You mentioned culture. So let's be clear for the listeners and viewers, just, you know, in case I'm actually, as you probably know, I'm working on my MBA at Pepperdine right now. And we were just discussing culture within an organization through the lens of leadership. And we were talking about the four segments of that, right? You've got the clan culture, the adocracy culture, hierarchy culture, and then the mixed culture, right? So what do we do with that? Because yes, there was a pandemic. Yes, you know, the baby boomers came out of a certain other circumstances that made them kind of influence who they were. Now the Zennials, they have, you know, or excuse me, millennials and X have social media and internet, right? So where do you think we're going to be with those frameworks in culture? Where do you think we should go?
First thing I think we should do is have an awareness of the differences. They are what they are. And when we don't acknowledge that we don't do things the same way, we don't communicate the same way, we don't want meetings the same way, we want it different, then we need to figure out, okay, let's talk about it. So baby boomers, how do you like to be communicated with? What do you like your meetings to be like? and Gen X, who's kind of lived with the baby boomers all this time. They're kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
One foot over here and one foot over here.
Yes. Yes.
Understand really both sides to it, because they like their work-life balance too. And they're like, but they're also willing to stay and get it done as much as they can.
Yeah.
But maybe be a little bit resentful of it along the way, to think, you know, we have a life too. We want to live a life.
Yeah.
Their parents give their all, okay, day and night. Yeah. And they're like, they really want that. You know, I want something a little more than that.
Yeah.
And then now we've got the millennials that are saying, well, I want something a little different too. And so do the Gen Zs. We need to stop and say, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what we each want.
Yeah.
And who's to say that we cannot come to some agreement that there's some give and there's some take, but the difference is in a traditional management style that we have been in, more top-down management style, more I'm the boss and I will tell you what to do, and that's
top
what
down.
You're going to do, or going to leave. And they're going, okay, bye.
Right. Adocracy, top-down. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing is a transformational, or what I call maybe a positivity culture. And that says, let's take a look at the whole big picture here and let's see what can be done on all sides. So tell me, with your course, what are you finding in, I'm breaking it into two parts. Tell me what you're finding that you think millennials and Zs might want today that is so different. Tell me what you're getting out of the schooling that you're taking, which is a little different.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, we haven't really examined that yet. We just kind of are looking at leadership as a whole from the macro view. I mean, I'm a Zennial. I'm 45. So, you know, right at the end of 78 and early 80s, I can say work-life balance is very important. I think that people are, I think you've hit the head, you know, you hit it right on the head. And more than ever, coming out of the pandemic, people want their lives. They don't want to do things that they don't want to do. They want to feel good because you might die from a pandemic. I think people feel that way. And they're really just having an aha moment of like, what matters to me?
Yeah, so, what matters?
Yeah.
And do, if I'm going to give my all, then I want to give my all to something that I really believe in.
Yeah.
And what are you hearing in the universities on diversity? And by diversity, you know, I'm saying diversity is generations, as it is, as it is race, as it is religion.
That's a great way to put it.
Gender, as it is everything. It's one of these things that have to be considered. Yeah. But when we look at the diverse population, that we are going to have even more and more diversity, how do you think we're accommodating that as well as we could within the businesses today? What do you think?
Well, I like that you're posing that. I don't think that we are having, like you said, that much needed meeting of the minds, saying baby boomers had a value add from their perspective and from what they came up off of. And so do millennials and X, you know, I think that all of those diverse groups should be in a think tank, like you say, or an examination of what works. Let's keep it lean. What doesn't work? Maybe they don't believe in FaceTime as much as someone that's going to grind it out 9 to 5, 9 to 10, whatever they're doing. So I think you're right. I'm finding that people do want balance and they can have it their way. We have, you know, we have technology and access like we've never had it. So I think people are commanding more.
You know, another thing that I am really interested in, this started with, Blanchard is really teaching it now, and it's called situational leadership. Have you heard about that yet?
Yeah. We haven't dived too deep, but I've heard of situational leadership.
I think that's part of the answer.
Yeah.
Situational leadership takes a look at the development level of the employee. And so we have this mix of directive behavior and supportive behavior. Mm-hmm. And people tend to think of maybe directive behavior as being the type A personality or something. But no, directive behavior simply says, I'm giving instructions, I'm giving direction, I am putting parameters on how we do things as well. where supportive behavior is also taking into account the person, you know, the person's feelings, the person's concerns, etc. So the interesting part of situational leadership is it says that there's four development levels. And with those development levels, you have four supervisory styles. And so if you have a somebody who's brand new coming into work for the first time, which could very well be any of the four generations, but is more likely to be a Y or a Z, then you use very directive behavior in the sense that you give them instructions. They don't need support because they're so excited. They've got a job. They're excited about doing the job when they first get there.
Yeah.
And so you lead them, through what to do and get them up and running as fast as you can. Because they want that too, but they also want to know how to do it, be clear about the direction you're giving me, and explain it in terms that I can see it done sometimes. Then you can go up with development level two, and that's where the person is kind of like, oh my gosh, the honeymoon's over, in a sense that this is the job. I didn't really know this was the job. I kind of thought it was over here, but now I'm going to be doing this. In our housing world, people might think, well, I got to with a housing authority, so now I'm going to go feed the homeless. That's going to be great in the sidewalks at night. And in reality, they're sitting at a computer doing data entry.
Right, right.
So it's that honeymoon stage where they take a dip in their enthusiasm and they need more coaching, and that's where the supportive comes in. So I could go through all the four styles, but the point is we have to think about people as individuals, where they are, what their background is, what their style is, what they're looking for. And the key, the bottom line key, is culture, and be sure that you are providing learning opportunities for people to grow.
Beautiful. Yes. People want to feel like you're invested in what they're bringing and invested in them and that they're important. So one way you can express that and grow your organization in a healthy way is reinvesting in education of your employees. I agree. I think, you know, we're running out of this segment, but I want to mention, I know I love you, Nan, to your point about, you know, it's almost a hybrid, right? Like you could do a little ad car, maybe some Carter, you know, the change management styles. Mm-hmm. I think that those would speak to certain parts of the culture, you know, and I think maybe adding a hybrid of different models, maybe ADCAR might speak to the younger or maybe the older, but I think that we have to be open-minded and not just do one thing across the board. So
true.
Great.
Well, yeah. In another segment, you know what else we could talk about?
Okay.
AI.
Is what?
AI.
Oh, yes. We're going to have you back.
Deep into AI.
I love that for you, man.
I totally believe in AI. And
I love
many
it.
Things. You have to be careful. Sure, there's concerns and there may be some parameters needed. But what you can do on a business level, on a personal level, is absolutely amazing. So let's talk about that.
I would love it. I would love it. You know what? I'm going to email you after the show. I'd love to have you on my 4-year anniversary show in September if you're available.
That would be nice.
Where can people find you, follow you, support what you're doing, and maybe sign up for the accelerator if they are chosen?
Well, the Namakay Connects is very easy. So there it is on the screen, namakayconnects.com, okay, / LAP, Leader Accelerator Program, just LAP.
LAP. The one and only.
We're running down that track and we're going to lap them all.
I need a shot of Nan every once in a while. You guys, the wonderful, the one and only Nan McKay. Thank you, Nan. Have a beautiful rest of your weekend.
Thanks.
All right. All right, you guys, that was Nan McKay from Nan McKay Connects. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Really amazing with leadership and change systems and just everything that you need if you are hiring, if you are staffing up and want to create some change within your organization. So look up Nan McKay, NANMCKAY. And so, yes. All right. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you so much to La Casa del Camino. Thank you to Next Level Global Solutions. Hello, Shane. thank you to Leah Solberg of Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you for your continued support of the channel. I said it at the top. I can't believe we're really going into 4 years in September. It's whizzed by, half of which I was on the road, you know, reflecting the show started. And I was, you know, it was a started right before the pandemic. But in the pandemic, I was doing a lot of my shows in the car, you know, at the Starbucks using their Wi-Fi. Shout out to Starbucks. So you guys have seen this thing grow a little bit. We're going to get even better. You know, I'm going to have an amazing podcast studio soon. So, you know, I want to grow it and make it better. If you are someone that is starting up and you don't have the resources, you didn't have the support, you don't have the support, you don't know where to go, thumb through our archives of this show. I mean, you're really going to see it step by step. And there is support through the videos and who we have here. So just, you know, grab your coffee or your wine and thumb through thumb through the archives, the library. And I'm excited. I got tongue twisted there. Guys, we're still casting for one of the four major networks. I'm doing casting for a dating show. It's going to be similar to The Bachelor, but it's going to have a twist. And we're looking for single men. All right. Single men from 30 to 40 years old, 6 feet and taller, can be from anywhere in the U.S. Obviously has to be single, not married. I don't know. I got to ask guys if divorced is okay or separated is okay. Okay. Thanks, Sam. Hang tight. But if that is the case, please submit your application. You have to be successful. So maybe you are someone who is, you know, really good in business, really good in family situations and friendships, but maybe just can't seem to nail down that love life piece. So go to lovesearchtv.com. And when you go through the application, select my name, Monique. If you don't see my name, select the casting director's name, Alicia Good. And you'll be immediately, you'll be considered for this new major show. It'll either be on ABC, NBC, CBS or Fox. I can't tell you the network, but there's a lot of great things. So if you're a gentleman of 30 to 40, 6 feet and taller, and you are looking for love, we would love to have you. All right. Let's roll into the next segment here. Sam, do you have my next guest? All right, here we are. We've got Leah Solberg from Michael Solberg Family Wines. Leah, welcome back.
Hi there. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear and see you beautifully. Thanks for being, oh, cheers. I brought my wine. All right, guys, if you don't know who this is, you haven't been watching our content, and that's okay. We'll catch you up very quickly. One of my favorite people on the planet, winemaker, mom, entrepreneur, overall badass, one of my besties, in full disclosure, Leah Solberg.
Well, hi. I mean, the sentiment is felt mutually.
Cheers, Leah. Welcome back.
Well, hi. How's it going?
I'm just enjoying some Michael Solberg right now. So, yes. Tell us, why don't you introduce yourself properly? Just tell everybody who you are in case they have never seen you before.
Okay. I'm a second generation wine owner. We hail out of Napa, California. Making wine, stomping grapes and having a good time. But we really focus in on the mainstay varietals, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinot Gris, the full gamut. And we hail from California appellated wines up to the really bougie Napa estate wines such as Rutherford and Oakville. So yeah. We work the full range of the wine market and what we bring to the table. So it's the everyday varietal, something more for an anniversary perhaps or a party, something in the middle. We can handle all of the above. So
yes.
Very, very honored to carry on the legacy that my father had left to me after he passed in 2011. So big shoes to fill, but
yes, you know. Cheers to Michael Solberg right now, guys. Cheers to Michael Solberg. All right.
Yes.
Okay. So I love what you said. I want to point out, guys, obviously it's female owned and sustainable. And I kind of want to call your wine kosher light. And why I say that is we had a client recently who was getting married. She's a fashion designer. And I was going to send some, we were going to try to get some Michael Solberg to the wedding. And she's, you know, she's Jewish. So she said, is it kosher? And Leah, if you don't mind me sharing this, you and I had kind of a conversation offline about it. I'm like, we think it might be kind of kosher, but we say kosher light. And, you know, because we don't want to mislead you if you're fully, religiously strict and kosher strict. But why would it be kosher light, Leah?
Well, it was more of a funny story that we were talking about. You know, it's more has to do with my name. And so people sometimes get that confused. With,
yeah.
I'm an honorary Jew, all right? But, there you go. That's what I say. So maybe yes. That's the kosher light part about it. And, you know,
wonderful.
Obviously a ton of respect, you know, towards any, you know, walk of life. And
yes.
And
yes.
As long as, you know, they're not harming anybody. But yeah. You know, so I, you know, really just love that the Jewish community. So, you know.
There you go. Yeah. And it's almost fully kosher, though. And there's two parts to that.
There's a lot to it.
Yeah. There's because the wine is really sustainable. And Leah used the best ingredients. Leah, tell us, you know, so that's why I kind of, in my mind, it feels kosher. But I know that there's levels to
right.
that.
Well, we use nothing but state-of-the-art facility and wine production. You know, we like to have fun sometimes and do the occasional old-school wine stomp for novelty reasons. But our facility is really state-of-the-art and produces some wonderfully tasting wines, but not only that, they're produced on a very kosher almost level of what we're doing. So that makes it, you know, the wine's incredible and something that you can feel good about drinking and putting in your body because, you know, they come from a great, great place. So.
Look at that smile, that skin, that energy, you guys. Like, this is what it looks like to drink Michael Solberg family wines. I'm enjoying the Merlot, and I thank you for making my Sunday on the show even better. Leah, I want you to come back closer to harvest, 1 month or so until harvest. So I want you to come back and give us some more, spill some more wine with us. Why don't you plug where people can order the wine and check out what you have to offer?
Okay, so this is our label. I don't know if you can see it there, Michael Solberg Wines. We just kind of updated the look a little bit. So
looks
for
good.
That.
Yes.
You can contact us on any platform. Look at my name, Solberg. Pretty easy to find us. So Michael Solberg Wines. Our handles are basically Michael Solberg Wines across the board on all social media. If it's not Michael Solberg, it's MSFW, so Michael Solberg Family Wines. And we're always here to answer questions. We will get orders out to you. We can fulfill them in-house. It's a super easy process. We do have capabilities of ordering online, although we are updating that system currently to our new vintages. So if you have any trouble at all, please don't hesitate to reach out and contact us, and we'll get it taken care of right away. And when I come on next, we're going to talk about wine cocktails. Because I think that's Ooh. The new, you know, the new jam for some of these younger drinkers coming up through the ranks. So
I'm excited. I was wondering what that was in your cup, Leah. That wasn't the usual vino.
It's made with our Chardonnay, some lemon, some orange juice, and some tropical juice kind of blended in there. A squeeze of lemon and some ice. And man, is it nice on a Sunday afternoon and just to keep things fresh.
I mean, listen, it's a hot day here in Laguna. I know it's warm up where you are. And so thank you for splashing us with some summer sunshine in your glass.
That's right. I'm always bringing it.
You're bringing it, baby. You guys, the one and only Leah Solberg, female wine owner, winemaker, badass. Get into it and enjoy.
Oh, you're the best.
Love you. Love you.
Lots of love.
Bye, love. All right, Sam. We are, okay, guys, that was Leah Solberg from Michael Solberg Family Wines. And, you know, it's always good to see her face. If you are looking to get into the horticulture wine business or spirited beverages, she's someone that would be an amazing mentor if she has the time. But check her out at michaelsolbergfamilywines.com. All right. We're going to go to our next guest. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hello.
You are just so lovely and glowing, and I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers if you could.
Absolutely. First, I have to say, you are so fun. This is going to be amazing. I already know.
Thank you.
I love a good chuckle and a good laugh, especially on a Sunday. My name is Dr. Tanja Coleman, and I do many things. So I'm an entrepreneur. I coach women. And also have a podcast that I host as well and put together every couple of weeks. And recently wrote a book that I published, and also a corporate executive. In addition to that, also an academician. So I teach classes at the local university here.
Wow. Tanja, it's good to see you. And let's make sure we put doctor in front of that, everybody. And also award winner in front of that. I had to look, my notes were so long, they're on the floor. From Miss Tanja here. We're going to staple the resume, girlfriend. We ran out of space. So it's a pleasure for you to carve out some time in your weekend. And thank you for being here in the spirit of entrepreneurs and startups. And
yes.
Yeah. So why don't you share with us how you became this powerhouse? How did you get to where you are? I know that's a big ask in a few minutes, but maybe just give us the brief overview about how you started.
Well, a little bit. I've always been just busy. Even as a child, I was just a busy kid. I was in like 14 clubs and activities. I just could never select one thing and stick with it. So I was always like hands in the pot of a lot of things. And that hasn't changed as I've grown into an adult. So I continue to do that. But mainly for me, it's about finding things that are interesting. So I really kind of follow my instincts, what's interesting. If there's some phenomena that I want to research, I'll go and research that. If there's a gap in information that I feel people need to have, I'll try to fill that, as well as just making sure that I motivate and try to inspire individuals. One of the things I realized very young, at a young age, is that not everyone is blessed with a love circle, right? Everyone's not blessed with people that surround them, that care and nurture and encourage and inspire, right? Some people are really immersed with folks who are naysayers, right? Doom and gloom, telling you what you can't do, what you can't be. And when I realized that, I'm like, okay, how can I help shift that for women particularly and make sure that everyone knows that they're worthy. Everyone knows that they're enough. Everyone knows that they're special and they have some jewel that no one else has in this world, because we're all individual. And I think a lot of women sort of miss that. And I think even more so now than the age of social media, you know, everyone is jazz handing and they look great. Talking about,
I'm guilty of some jazz hands, that's for sure.
Yes, I think we all know, right? But underneath that, you know, there's, when people see success, for instance, they don't see that I'm up until like 3 a.m. writing and reading and researching and looking at phenomena and not necessarily getting all the sleep in the world. They just see the outcome. They don't necessarily see the input.
Oh, it's so true. And I'm getting a visual of that iceberg where it's got success and money and love and family. Mm-hmm. And then underneath the iceberg is late nights, loneliness, depression, being broke, you know, it's... do I pay the light bill or the cable bill? Like it's, they don't see those things. I love that you have, you've been harvesting this culture around yourself and for your, and your clients of the love circle. It sounds like you probably benefited from a love circle. And
absolutely. Yes.
I feel it. I see it. You know, how can someone create their own love circle if they're an entrepreneur? Maybe they didn't get so many hugs in life, or, you know, it's been a little rough. What do you suggest for them?
What I see happen so many times is people just have this fear of disassociation, the fear of letting go, the fear of saying goodbye to negative people and spirits and circumstances that aren't serving them well. They try to hold on to them. They try to curate them. They try to shift them. They try to change the person. It's just not possible. Sometimes you have to gracefully walk away for your own good, for your own sanity, and for your own betterment. And that's okay. Not everyone is meant to be in your circle, in your presence forever. As they say, you know, some people are here for a season, right? And that's okay. Yeah. Some people probably shouldn't be around for a season, but you let them stay a season.
Uh-oh. I'm having a flashback from Iyanla. Get the dog off your porch.
So you can tell who's in your love circle by when you have successes, who's there cheering you on, who's encouraging you. When you're down, who's saying you can do this? And I'll give a great example. When I was in my PhD program and I was writing my dissertation, there were plenty of days where I said, you know, I went through the classes, I have the learning, I'm good. And either my mom or my friends would say, oh no, you're not good. You're finishing this thing, because we know you can do it. And we know the moment that you're in is temporary and that you will regret it if you don't. So we're going to push you a little bit and we're going to challenge you. And so sometimes that means that, right, exactly, Monique, that tough love, right? Pushing people beyond what they can even see is possible sometimes. And that's your love circle. Sometimes they're loving on you. Sometimes they're challenging you. Sometimes they're pulling you along, and it's all good. You know, several years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, I created what I called our Diva Circle. It was called Dining with Divas. And it was a group of us, 15 of us, who would get together every month and just break bread together. And we also did our goals together. So another friend of mine, Dr. Williams, she would have these goal parties and we would write out our goals for the year. And what I found is every one of us that really stuck to doing that ended up achieving a lot of the goals that we had. So it shows that when you associate with like-minded folks, you can achieve a lot, because what's written down usually can come to fruition in some way. Even if you don't meet it 100%, you're much further along than if you didn't. And that's what I find is really important in immersing yourself with individuals who are bringing you up, right? And you have to ask the question, are you bringing me down or are you bringing me up?
Right. I love what you're saying. I think it's so true. You are kind of what's in your environment, and you've got competitive people in a healthy way. Right. Going for theirs, and you're around that, you're going to pull it up and step up. And cheers. What you got in your glass there?
I have Essentia Electrolyte Ice Water.
Oh, it looks so fancy. Excuse me. We had the wine lady on, my friend Leah, earlier. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, wow, you've got a lot of great things going. We're going to wrap here in just a couple minutes, but I want you to tell people what you're excited about right now. What is on your plate of happiness for this next month, this next quarter? What do you got cooking for people to know about?
Well, what's cooking is a lot of individuals are really interested in our book. So I've been asked to speak at several events, which is really nice. Where I'm kind of leaning is this is really about what you can do for yourself. We know there's a lot of systemic holdbacks that hold us back from a systems perspective. But this is really about how you empower and take charge for yourself. So I'm super, super excited about that piece. But also I'm doing a lot of research now on ChatGPT and the world of diversity, equity, and inclusion and the impact on that. And so I'll be speaking at the Academy of Management here in Chicago in October, doing that and revealing that research. In addition, I'm writing another chapter for a book. It'll be a compilation book with other authors, where we're all going to share a story about the title so far is Roar. And it's really about what are some things about ourselves maybe people don't realize that helped us roar, that helped us get to the next level. Maybe it's a story we haven't shared. Maybe it is an adversity that we haven't won, right? Because a lot of people, what you see isn't always what you get. Some people just choose not to share certain things for certain reasons. We want to break that iceberg and start sharing those stories so other women can be inspired and know what they can overcome and endure and still be successful and on top.
Okay, guys, do you want a few more minutes with Tanja? I know you do. You guys want it? Put some comments. Can you stay a couple more minutes?
Sure, absolutely.
You hit on something, girlfriend, that I'm like, yes. And shout out to Chicago. How's it going, Chicago?
It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. Clear skies, beautiful yes. weather. Boats are out. People
boats.
Are
I was going to ask you about the boats. Yeah. Yes,
it's lovely. It's lovely. I'm right here on the lake, so I'm very blessed in that.
I love that. You know, Chicago has grown on me, and it was the first city we touched down in during the pandemic when I started the Pandemic Project documentary. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the clip yet, but that was the first city. The world was shut down, and I was on a plane like a crazy person. But that's another conversation for another day. You hit something there with for me, Dr. Coleman, and it was about Roar. I really like what you said about that. And can you, without, I know you're probably still in the middle of it, but the stories that make us who we are, I mean, that's a very strong statement. It's an honest statement. It's something I think a lot of people are not scared, like I'm scared, but just apprehensive perhaps to dig in the crates of whatever that is for them. And the splashback, right? You have to just be, you got to be resigned to going, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. This is my roar, right? Like, how do we, what's the benefit of roaring?
I think the benefit is, once again, it can release the pressure from you because you have this part of you that you haven't shared or told anyone. But also it can benefit others because everyone's probably gone through something similar, maybe not exactly, but something similar. They may be at a point in their lives where they're feeling like, I can't do this. I can't make it. They're feeling down. And then they see someone or read about someone else who's overcome an adversity that's similar. And they go, well, if she can do it, I can do it. If she's encouraging me, I can get through this. And sometimes we all need those encouraging words. We need those role models. We need to see those people. We need to hear those stories because it's kind of what keeps us going. And it also makes you feel like you're not isolated. You're not alone, that you're part of a community, that you're part of this collective, right? And then being your authentic self, and then also finding a way to continue the conversation to make sure that others are embracing this information and understanding, and just, it's kind of giving a lifeline to people in a way.
Yeah, it's good stuff, guys. I mean, listen, as a startup person, entrepreneur, constantly, I'm thinking, it's funny because I was having difficult moments this last few weeks, just with all of it, you know, and even though I've been at it for a while, going to the next level or trying to get something else off the ground, you're going to hit those days where you're just like, what? I don't want to get out of bed at all. Where's the ice cream? Where's the Golden Girls? what are we doing? Because, or American, you know, shout out to American Dad. I need some comedy. What? So I really love that you're offering a place for that, for a safe landing for people. Mm-hmm. So where do you see your book going? You know, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is huge. I know what it takes a little bit on how to get I don't have mine out yet, but you're welcome. Like what?
The publishing industry is very competitive. It's super challenging, and it's difficult when you don't have a national platform. So you really have to do a lot to get yourself out there, to stay visible, to stay relevant as a person that maybe not have a TV show every day or a talk show or something like that, where you have a captive audience that's on a regular basis. So you really do a lot. So I do a lot in terms of my podcasting, in terms of LinkedIn, in terms of social media. So I do think it, you know, even though it can be difficult, you have to see where there's kind of roses out there and just utilize those. Whatever it is at your disposal, utilize it to make yourself known and make your project known, because the reason you wrote the book or whatever you're engaged in is to help people. And so as much as you can amplify what you're doing is always helpful, without, you know, you don't want to turn into a bugaboo, but you want to definitely amplify what you're doing. You know, every time someone sees you, I want to start talking about your, hey, you know,
but I want you to be a bugaboo. Sell that book.
But you definitely want to continue to, you have to keep yourself out there and you have to stay relevant and you have to care about people. And I think that's the main thing. You can't come across as kind of a selfish act. It has to really, you have to really care in your heart about helping other people. And sometimes that means you give advice, you know, you engage in knowledge philanthropy, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes, ooh. You know, you have to say, okay, you've called me 10 times and I'm actually a coach and I do charge.
Well, boundaries, boundaries. I like that. A psychological philanthropy, what'd you say? A psychological
knowledge philanthropy. So, you know, we give time and we give money, but a lot of times we're giving knowledge to people. Right?
Yeah.
We're giving that. And now knowledge is a whole industry. It's a multi-million dollar industry. So when someone calls you for a minute of mentorship or a coaching session and it's, you know, free, you've given that, right? That's a gift. And so people should realize that that's what it is and be very appreciative, because everything has sort of this price tag. But if you have it in your heart to help someone who's receiving and who needs the help, mm-hmm. Then you should try to do that as often as you can.
Yeah, it just keeps your karma going real smooth. And if you can find to plug in, especially if you, there's a shout out to the entrepreneurs out there. If somebody's in a startup sticky situation and you're stuck, that little moment of mentor, like you said, I really like that. You need to trademark that. Don't touch it, y'all.
I call them universal deposits. You're putting deposits in the universe.
Yes.
And, when you need to make a withdrawal, then you have some deposits to withdraw from.
Well, that's beautiful. I am definitely a psychological philanthropist or an energy philanthropist or a knowledge. I give that all the time. So yes, I love what you're saying. Let's plug the book real quick. Give us the title. And tell us where we can purchase it.
All right. It's actually 3 Second World. You can't really say it there. 3 Second World. And the reason I named it 3 Second World is people typically make up their mind about you in a few seconds. Doesn't take long. And so you really have to kind of put your best foot forward most of the time. But then also understand that the world is constantly evolving and you have to stay in the mix of what's going on. So it's called 3 Second World, Essentials for Engineering Your Future. And if you so inclined, it's on Amazon, it's on Kindle, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. I know some people have certain places they like to shop and don't like to shop. So I have a multi-channel distribution. So
yes, you do. Congratulations on the Barnes & Noble piece.
Yes, that was big. I like that.
I'm going to have to sign up for a moment of mentor and pick your brain about that. I have a client that wants to get in with them, but congratulate you guys. This is not easy to do. So Dr. Coleman, you're just a badass. And I really want to, you know, we'll talk through your people on an email, but I think we should have you come out in September, if your schedule permits, come out to Beverly Hills for our Emmys Week Celebrity Gifting Suite. I think you having some celebrities and influencers reading through your book and taking some photos could be fun.
Absolutely. And I was on a local ABC commercial here. So
okay. I love it. We would love to see that. Drop that in my email. I'd love to check that out.
Support all right.
Well, I'm excited. Thank you for bringing some of that Chicago love to LA, to Laguna Beach. And I'd love to have you back on and discuss your book even further. Do you want to look in the camera and just give some advice or some encouragement for someone that might be stuck out there that's trying to get something off the ground?
Absolutely. Entrepreneurship is not easy. I would say surround yourself with resources like the Women's Small Business Association, other women who've been in startups and entrepreneurs. Get to know folks, network, get out there. You're not going to achieve anything or get any information just sitting at home. You have to get out there and network. There's a lot of grants available. There's a lot of individuals who want to do business with women entrepreneurs. So get out there and just start making things happen. Don't wait till you get a certification or you have all this stuff in order. Those sometimes are things that make us that cause us to procrastinate because we don't really want to move forward, right? We say, I need this, I need that, I need the other. And then you don't have to do anything. You don't have to move. Just start moving, get your first client, and then start to put everything in tow.
I love that. And I want to talk to you again. I'm going to shoot you an email right after, but I want to pick your brain for this. You can have to answer it now, but how your business, how you moved with the change during the pandemic and how you shifted to meet the needs of your clients in that time. And, you know, our third part of the documentary trilogy is the endemic project, the cause and effect. Yeah. I'm sure you saw a lot of clients changing over and getting a divorce or getting married or having a baby. Yeah. So that shift, you know, I'd be interested to see how you navigated that. But we're going to put a little cliffhanger here and have Dr. Coleman back really soon. Thank you for being here, Dr. Coleman.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. The best way I could have spent a Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us. What will you start up today? See you soon. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.